This is Wade Rathke, and you're listening to Wade's World, a Voice of the People program. Welcome to the east side of town so that we can talk about how the other half lives and what life is like here living in Wade's World, whether that's the east side of Little Rock, Greenville, or New Orleans, or on Acorn Radio in Nairobi, Bengaluru, Bristol, or Bombay. Points east and west where we are either rebroadcast or live streamed at kabf.org, wamf.org, or acornradio.org. A podcast will be available of this show on those websites and at www.chieforganizer.org. You know the story on Wade's World. We talk to the most interesting people in the world. And today, we have the pleasure of talking to Sandra Gordon about the 504 Queens and Sister Allison McCrae, who's been working with her on a very interesting problem. Sandra, Allison, welcome to Wade's World.
Thank you.
So I came, I know you've been active in community affairs here with ACB and other organizations that we've talked to, but I first heard about this reading the local paper. You and, well, I guess, who are the 504 Queens? I guess I better ask that before I start talking to you about what happened to the 504 Queens.
Okay, the 504 Queens is a charitable nonprofit membership organization, and we work for the empowerment of women and girls. It's our members are regularly volunteer at different places like Covington House, the New Orleans Women and Children's Shelter. We purchase food and holiday food for girls, for families that are in need at Christmas and Thanksgiving. At Easter, we gave Easter baskets to the Lower Ninth Ward. Our Thanksgiving baskets were given over the river on the West Bank. And we also gave Christmas toys to the New Orleans Women and Children's Shelter. We've given funds and clothing and different things to Covington House, and we just assist women and children. We mentor young girls and we help women find housing and different things like that.
And so you're not a very dangerous group, you wouldn't think.
No, we are well-respected professional women. We come from all walks of life.
And how long have you been active in 504 Queens, Ms. Gordon?
Maybe about a year.
Okay, but has it been going a while or?
2 years.
It 2 years, so it's a new organization.
Right, it was established in 2018.
Okay, and do y'all have, so y'all are in a growing stage now. You have a fair number of people who have gotten involved with you now?
We have, our membership consists of 400 people.
Excellent. So y'all decided to do a little, I don't know if it's a social event or just, you know, personal education, but y'all decided to go to the movies together.
Well, we have social gatherings among ourselves, and we decided that we would go to dinner and then go see the movie Harriet, and that's what we did.
And the movie Harriet is about Harriet Tubman, correct?
Correct.
And so help our audience, if there is anybody in our listening area who doesn't know who Harriet Tubman is, let's give them some background here.
Well, I doubt it seriously if your audience don't know about Harriet Tubman, but Harriet Tubman was a person who helped the slaves become free from the South. She helped runaway slaves go to the North to be free.
She was very important on the Underground Railroad.
Right.
She actually was picked up a gun and helped fight in some of the Civil War, didn't she?
That's correct.
And she was when President Obama was in office, he suggested that perhaps we put her on, I think it was a $20 bill.
Right.
Which would have been fantastic. But that's held up, I think.
Right.
Yeah,
that's. It has been held
up. It turned out there was an engraving problem. I forget what all story they tell, but
she has been a huge part of our American history, not
absolutely.
Only Black history, American history.
Absolutely. So, y'all went to the movie.
Right.
And what happened then?
Well, the movie started at 6:30, and we arrived like about 6:20. We purchased our tickets online, so we was to be seated, and we did, and so. We were looking at the movie, and at 8:15, some people passed in front of us, and then they
left. At 8:15?
Right, at 8:15.
Now, what movie was this? Where was this movie? I know this is in New Orleans, but...
It's at the AMC in Clearview.
In Clearview, mm-hmm. Okay. I know exactly. Yeah.
And so...
Clearview is a suburb in Jefferson Parish outside of New Orleans proper, right?
Right, that's correct. And some people passed in front of us, and they left, so... You know, I wondered why they was just looking for their seats because it was 8:15. The movie had started a long time ago.
Yeah.
So they left, and when they left, one of the employees from AMC approached me and asked me to see my ticket. I went into my purse because I ordered the tickets online. I went into my purse and I got my telephone out, my cell phone out, and I showed her my ticket and everything, and she left. She said I was in the wrong seat at first, and I said no. You know, I showed her my ticket and everything. And
now, was the theater crowded, or?
Boy, it was a sold out theater.
Okay, so this was early in the production.
No, this was after 8:15.
No, but it was early as the show. I mean, it was in the early showings of the Harriet movie.
It was the first weekend that it was.
That's what I mean. Yeah, mm-hmm. That was a better way.
And it started that Friday, but we went that Sunday.
Gotcha.
November the 3rd.
Oh, okay.
And so when I showed her my ticket, I said, I'm in a correct seat. And I showed her my ticket on my phone and stuff, and she left. And a few minutes later, like 2 to 3 minutes later, she came to, another employee came to my seat. And said that,
and all of them were coming to you.
Right, and said that I was in the wrong seat, and her former employee told her that I was being disruptive and disrespectful and was causing a circus. And in doing all of that, they stopped the movie and turned on every light that was in the theater. So the movie was interrupted and everything was lit up in the theater. And I said, no, I didn't cause any disturbance. I said, she asked me for my ticket, and I showed her, and she asked me, the second employee, she asked me for my ticket. And I showed her my ticket. And so they said, well, they said you was up here cursing and causing a disturbance.
Oh, wow.
And I said, no. In the meantime, there were people in the theater that thought I caused a disruption because the lights were on and that's film has
and stopped. They were all shoo-shooing around it.
No, yeah. They started yelling, take her out of here.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't do anything. So then the second employee said, well, I don't want any more trouble out of you or anything like that. I said, I'm not causing any trouble or any problems. I said, you asked to see my ticket. I'm in the correct seat. You know, what is the problem? So she said, well, I don't want any more problems out of you and blah, blah, blah. And I said, I'm not causing a problem. She said, well, just don't. She left.
How many of the were in your party, Ms. Gordon?
15, I think. 15,
okay, so you had a good little crowd there.
Yeah,
okay.
It was like 15 or 13 of us.
Well, it doesn't matter. I'm just, you know, giving a sense. It wasn't just you and the two or three others. So y'all had a good little group there.
No,
and so what did the rest of the 504 Queens that were with you think when this was all going on?
They wanted to know what was the problem after me showing them my ticket, and it was cleared up with the
first. Now, did you have the tickets for everybody, or they?
No, I only had two tickets, one for myself and another person.
Right.
I
was so in, they all had their own tickets.
Right, I was in row E number 8, but I had purchased a ticket in row E 7 and 8. So the person sitting next to me was the two tickets that I purchased. And then after a couple of minutes, a third employee, which was the two employee supervisors, the two girls,
meanwhile, the lights are still on, the movie's not running?
When she left, she turned on, the second employee, Bridget, when she left, she turned on the lights and started the movie again. So they supervisor, Kyle, he came up, a third employee of AMC, and approached me and said that, you know, I heard you was in the wrong seat, and you causing a disturbance up here and everything, you know, and all of this. If you do this again, they're going to put you out and all of this kind of stuff. And I said, I'm not. So he said, I'm just letting you know it. Then he left. And, you know, we continued watching the movie. So when the movie was over with.
So they didn't try to eject you from the movie at that time?
No, they didn't.
Okay.
So when the movie was over with, I took a picture of my seat number and the other seat that I paid
for. That was smart. Okay.
And that row of the seat that I was in took so it could correspond
with
my
ticket. E7 and 8 or whatever,
And when we went downstairs, they had other people who were in the movie who was upset, and they were talking to Kyle. So I asked to see the manager because I wanted to let him know what happened, and I told him I think everybody in the movie should get their money back because the movie was disrupted and, you know, people could not enjoy the movie.
They created a whole disturbance in there.
And so he said that he didn't know he could do that, but he would give us passes. And I'm like, we don't want any passes. We want our money back. So he left and went into his office. But then he came back and said that he would give people their money back. But I want, you know, people to know the two people, the two females who approached me, Jennifer and Bridget, one of them was a housekeeping personnel and one of them was a kitchen personnel. Don't get me wrong, I have no problems with any of these personnel because that's a living and an honest living. But I think if they would have had ticket takers there, they would have known what to do, check my ticket and leave, and it would have been correct. I don't know if they knew the rules or the values of how to approach a person or what to do in regards to a person.
I wonder why they were even asked to come talk to you.
I don't know, and I don't know who gave them the authority to
okay.
do that.
And Carl, is that what his name?
Kyle.
Was he the direct overall manager or just a supervisor?
No, he was the supervisor of Jennifer and Bridget, the two women who approached me.
Interesting. Okay, so you demanded the money back, and then what happened?
We got in line, some of the people who were there in the movie and us, we got in line to get our money back from seeing the movie.
And did you get it?
Yes, we did.
So we're talking to Sandra Gordon of the 504 Queens, and we're also talking with Sister Allison McRae, who's been working with Sandra and the 504 Queens to try to straighten this out. So you took direct action after you had the problem. You got your money back, but this has been reported widely in the local newspapers, the Washington Post. It's gone all around the country because this actually speaks to a deeper problem, doesn't it, Ms. Gordon?
To me, it speaks to racism.
I think to everybody, it probably speaks to racism.
Well, I can't speak for everyone
well,
else.
That's why I get to run this show. I can say whatever I want on Wage World. That's why it's named after me. But and the headline on the Washington Post was very clear. In the headline, they called it a likely incident of racial profiling.
Right.
Now, but it didn't just end there from what I read. Now, you're going to tell me what the truth is. Sometimes what you read in the papers isn't the truth. But AMC got a lot of publicity for this. And from what I've read, they had to reach out to you and make some amends as well. Am I correct?
That's correct.
So what did AMC, just for all the listeners who never go to movies anymore and think Netflix and streaming is all the world, AMC is a huge chain of movie theaters all around the country, isn't it?
It is.
One of two or three chains. You know, the days when, there's a little local movie house in your neighborhood or in your little town somewhere in Mississippi or Louisiana, those are long gone. There's no drive-ins. There might be three or four left, but AMC is a big, big company that is very key in distributing movies. So did you start hearing from them, or did you and your troop reach out for them after you left the movie theater?
Well, I spoke to Allison, our attorney, that okay. Monday morning, and I explained to her what happened. And she asked, could we meet that evening? And we did. And we talked about what happened and what happened in the action that they took and what we wanted to have as a reaction from what their actions were. And the group, the 504 Queens, got together and we discussed it with Allison and we made some demands from AMC.
Oh, okay. Now we're talking here. So let me ask Sister Allison a couple of questions then. I don't want to leave her just sitting here watching us. We waited her for, make her earn a living here with us, a pro bono living. So, Sister Allison, had you been working with the 504 Queens for a while, or you were a member, or how did you come into this story?
Yeah, I've known Sandra Gordon. We go pretty far back, up to Katrina times. We were both engaged in the struggle to save St. Augustine Church together, and Sandra became a spiritual mentor of mine, and is responsible in large part for me becoming a Catholic sister and committing my life to this. And so we've been in a lot of struggles together.
And now, had you been a lawyer before that, or you went to law school after that?
I became a lawyer afterwards, after the struggle to save St. Augustine. I was representing mm-hmm. people on death row at the mm-hmm. time as a paralegal. And then I was statewide campaign manager for the Unanimous Jury campaign, and Sandra was organizing all the senior citizens for that campaign and helping them get out the vote. And so we've worked on a lot of different issues and campaigns together over the years. So when I got the phone call, I was like, here we go again. No lawyer would take this case because there wasn't video evidence, and it's hard to prove racism and public accommodations. It's common sense. Everyone knows it. But it's a high legal standard to prove it, and
under
most
this
lawyers
administration,
wouldn't take it.
They're making the standard higher and higher. So yeah,
right. Yeah, and lawyers want to do it to make money, and so there's no
True.
Money to make in it. And so I invited the 504 Queens over and said, what does justice look like for you? And so I think with the knowing them and knowing their integrity, and these are strong women who are brilliant, who know their power, who are leaders in the community. And so thinking creatively about what justice would look like. So got out all of our paper and started writing down, what do all the demands look like? What do we want to ask? What does it look like to try to restore things back in any kind of way? And so we put together a list of demands, and those demands included the firing of the three white workers that harassed, intimidated, and threatened the 504 Queens. It included asking for, and everything that we asked for was granted and some more. So we got the three white workers were terminated. We all 650 AMC theaters around the country are getting retrained in customer service. We got their customer service manual redone, and mandatory anti-racism training for all AMC employees in 650 theaters.
Now, who were y'all negotiating with? Was it somebody locally?
The vice president of AMC Theaters and their senior legal counsel.
And did they come down to New Orleans to talk to you, or this was all telephonic or Skype or WhatsApp?
Phone and email, yeah. Mm-hmm. We asked for 20,000 free tickets for all the high schoolers in Orleans and Jefferson Parish to go see Harriet for free. We asked for 400 tickets for the 200 members of the 504 Queens and the black girls that they mentor to be able to go see movies throughout the year 2020. We asked for all the profits from Black Friday ticket sales and concession sales to go to the 504 Queens to support their public service work of giving out holiday meals for Thanksgiving and Christmas. We asked for a public apology letter and got that.
So they just gave you everything you asked for. I've been in a lot of negotiations over my 50 years as an organizer. I've never been in a situation where, you know, now I wonder, should we ask for something else? But so they just couldn't have been more accommodating. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, it's all about how we tell the story. And
very rarely is it about how we tell the story.
And being aware of the power that people have. And I think for people to know the power that they have and to not give up. So when an injustice happens and you call around and no attorney takes your case, you keep calling. And
but in AMC's case, do you not think that they thought their brand was being damaged?
Oh, that's absolutely the thing, yeah.
I think they were very vulnerable in this situation. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, and once they started getting calls from the media outlets, they knew it was going to, you know, hit all the media. And so the New York Times picked it up, the Washington Post, all the national major news outlets, Time Magazine, everyone got it. So it made headlines in ways we didn't expect, and honestly we weren't looking for, because we're like, what is this, how does this benefit the community, and what is it? But I think it was also the impetus for the 504 Queens to build out their movement, to build out the work and the public service they do, and to grow a strong organization of black women in this city, and to grow their work. And so getting $11,000 in Black Friday ticket sales to be able to grow their work and to mentor other women.
And that's what it added up to, was $11,000
for
them?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that helps you out in 2 years, a 2-year-old organization. That gives you something. Now, how do they go about, how do you monitor whether or not they really make these tickets available for all the school children?
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Oh, that's already happened.
So it was when the Harriet movie was coming out, was still in theaters. And so every day the vice president would, you know, call me and say, you know, 600 kids went and saw it today. And even to this day, a number of teachers and principals that I run into will say, oh yeah, I took all my kids to go see Harriet. Thanks for that. And I was like, well, thank you. Just speaking up to this injustice, and for speaking up was what was right, and thinking about really community-minded solutions in doing that.
And how do you go about monitoring their anti-racist training around their theaters?
Yeah, they sent us all their curriculum, so we asked for all their curriculum for the videos, the modules, how are they testing their employees to see if it changes. It's a little trickier because, you know, with a lot of industries, you know, people come and go and don't stay around a long time.
Oh, sure.
But if it's mandatory for all their employees in 650 theaters, that's a pretty wide reach. And even if it's not the ideal training, you know, in terms of getting to systems of racism and a deeper analysis of race. I feel good about the quality of what they did produce. And so.
But was there any follow-up they gave you about when they did it in Missoula, Montana, or when they did it in Schenectady, New York, or, you know, not that I'm distrustful, but I've negotiated with a lot of people, and, you know, it's one thing to see the paperwork and have them tell you, but sometimes, you know, when you turn that rock over, there's still a snake. It's not just dirt. So how did y'all find out that they were really doing what they were promising there?
They trained all their staff within 45 days of our letter.
And you were able to confirm that through the theater somehow, or how did they report that is what I'm asking.
We didn't report that, but we have copies of all their modules and their training curriculum, and so there's a level of trust. They were willing to comply. I think they, you know, they gave us enough information for us to believe that we were, but that's not something that we
So for all of our listeners, if you happen to be going to an AMC theater, you hear what Sister Allison and Sandra Gordon are saying. I'm going to tell you, I want you to go ask the manager of that theater when you go how that training really went and when it happened and what results they felt about it, because that would be good information for the 504 Queens to know. And it would make sure that AMC actually did follow up and do what they promised to do. We've been talking to Sister Allison McCray as well as Sandra Gordon about the 504 Queens. Where do we go from here? Obviously, your organization has a nice shot in the arm, and but this problem of racial profiling, and it's so pernicious, it's so widespread. Is that why you all decided to up the ante so seriously on AMC and make sure that they were going to do right here?
Well, first of all, we want to be treated in respect by everyone, not just AMC employees, by everyone. And we want the community to be treated and be respected by everyone, not only adults, our youth also. And we felt we were racially profiled.
Absolutely.
And we wanted it to stop because of our youth. If it would have been some young people in there, they would have just got up because they had been harassed so much.
Oh, let's be honest. If it had been young people, we would have had police and blue lights flashing outside.
Right. And, you know, with this time, it shouldn't be tolerated. Racism shouldn't be tolerated by anyone. But I felt the way in an aggressive manner that these three employees approached me, that was part of the norm for them. They felt that they did not have to respect me, any black person in that movie, because if you would have seen the aggressiveness of this person, her tone and her manner, in my face action that she did, this didn't just happen. This was part of her core, you know, all of them.
Well, and you have to worry as well as a longtime resident of the greater New Orleans area. I mean, that district is the Steve Scalise district. It was formerly the David Duke district when he was a state representative. It's where most of the first stop of white flight from New Orleans was, right in that area we're talking about, from the line between New Orleans and Metairie. I know a lot of you don't know New Orleans, but that line up until about Clearview and past, that was very much that district for when people were first moving out of the city.
And I want people to know that racism is still going rapid right now throughout the city, you know, Jefferson Parish and other parishes, you know. It's been over half a century, and it's still going, and it seems as though it's not stopping. It's a continuing movement to continue, not to stop, to do anything and say we need to live as brothers and sisters, as one, exactly, in this community.
And a lot of what you were describing of the program for 504 Queens was, you know, focused on a lot of social services, as you say, the Christmas and Thanksgiving meals and this, that, and the
mentors
other.
Is this sort of
concern about racism and racial profiling becoming part of the program of the 504 Queens now too? Because y'all have some scalps on your wall now, so maybe that's something. Is that something y'all are thinking about doing more with, or?
Well,
how are people debating that?
Well, for number one, you know, we want the community to know, and we want to work with the community to stop racism in any way that we can. But all issues have to come before our organization, and it's to be discussed. But now we, as a group, we know that racism has not stopped and is continuing. And one of our things is when we mentor young women and when we give to women and children, we don't give to only black women and children. We give to everyone.
Sure.
Black, white, Spanish, whatever race you are, we give because that's what we are about, helping our community, women and girls. But we don't give with a racist tone. We give with an everyone tone and a loving tone for everybody. So if you have a project that you think the 504 Queens are capable in helping you with, a charitable organization or whatever, you know, contact us, you know, let us know, and it will be discussed. And if your issue can become a part of our issue with the 504 Queens, we'll help you.
And we were going to do this at the very end, but for those people who want to contact the 504 Queens, particularly in the New Orleans area, the best way might be just to reach out to me at wade@wamf.org or wade@chieforganizer.org and tell me you're looking to see if you can connect with Sandra Gordon or Sister Allison and follow up on some of this kind of program. But it could be that, is there a Facebook page y'all now have for the 504 Queens?
Yes, we do.
Okay, so that's another good way that you might be able to connect with them. Send them a message on Facebook. Throw something over the mobile phone or the internet.
And our Facebook page is 504 Queens.
Who could forget that?
Right.
Is there a period or 504 Queens just straight head on?
504 Queens.
And I bet if you ever, you know, talk to those Google people and say AMC and the 504 Queens, you're going to know more about this than you may want to know. But there's a lot of push in the cultural space to be more forthright about racial issues. And yet we see the awards coming out. Once again, there was a big controversy about the Academy Awards and this that were, you know, hashtag all white or whatever it was. And but people, I mean, I know there's a play here in New Orleans right now called The Uninvited, which looks at 1874 and the pushback from the White League against Reconstruction, where they were trying to forcibly resegregate integrated schools between the end of the Civil War and 1874. So this is something that those of us interested in social change are seeing more of. So I think the example of the 504 Queens, y'all could have just said, okay, I'll take my little, you know, ticket money back and washed your hands. But instead, getting in touch and coming up with some demands made a difference, didn't it?
It did, and we could have gotten our money and walked out, but how would that have looked for the youth? These people were, racism was shown to these people. They stood up, they didn't do anything about it. And we went to see a Harriet Tubman movement who stood up for everyone, the slaves, to bring them up north, to free them. You know, it all comes about what would you have done?
Exactly. And I got one question that's nagged at me from reading the articles and now hearing y'all talk. Did anybody in the audience come to your support?
Yes, there was a young man named Brandon. He gave us his name and number and said that if we needed anyone to see what really happened outside of our full 504 era, Queens, he would come up. And there was another lady who was an attorney. She was white. And she said that we can also use her name and she would say what happened.
Okay, so it wasn't just people saying, throw you out. There was some people who stood up in the crowd, but that's good.
And the lady sitting next to me, she tried to tell the AMC employees that that's not how it happened, but they wouldn't listen to her also. She was not a member of the 504 Queens. She was just sitting next to me.
You know, you and I were talking before the show went on about being skeptical of some of these online payments and this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even when I don't go to movies much, but when I go, I just buy a ticket, you know, and put it in my pocket, and half the time I lose it. But now you're making me think that's a mistake not to go online to buy a ticket. That's another thing I'm taking away.
But I think you also have a privilege as a white male. So
oh, you think so, Allison? Just like yours as a young white woman, more, you're a lawyer, for goodness sakes.
Right. That's what I told the AMC attorneys. I said, I bet if I was white, three people wouldn't have approached me.
Absolutely. Any final comments from either of you?
Yeah.
Well, I just want the people, not only in the New Orleans area, throughout the United States and throughout the world, to make them realize people think racism is over with. It is so far not. You know, we have been dealing with this for over a century, and it is time for it to be over.
Absolutely.
But it is so far not over.
It's a project we need to deal with every day.
Right.
This has been Wage World for another week, the world where the other half lives, where we talk about things you've never heard, and as Lucinda Williams sang, things you've never seen will never forget. Wage World is underwritten by the Darrow Foundation, a progressive force enabling change based in Little Rock, Arkansas. And as the song goes, we say it loud, we say it on the air, we say it on the radio. Until next week when we'll have another guest, this is Wade Rathke from Wade World. Thank you.